It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why I don't understand a lot of modern romantic things, because I've never really dated. I've never really dated. A little bit, Trish, and I mean, but that's the thing. It was very much a sort of, we're a couple, then we go out on some dates. Yep. I haven't had, I've maybe had one or two first dates, but very rare, because most of my romantic experience was in college, and that's not how that works. You kind of hang out, and then one night at a party, you both drink too much, and you hook up, and the next day, you're like, hey, should we date? Which I'm not recommending that as a process. I'm just saying that's how it went down pretty much every time. Or occasionally, it wasn't that you drank too much. It was that you did too much pagan ritual, and you were kind of wound up. But either way.
Well, for me, it was, yeah, there was never I meet somebody, and I say, hey, you want to go out for coffee or something? And then things develop from there, or I'm introduced to someone, and then things develop.
Yep.
Never that. It's always been, I'm friends with this person, and then just at some point,
somebody kisses somebody.
Yeah,
usually.
Exactly. Yep. And then you're just together.
Yeah, exactly. Like right after that. Yeah.
It's not some kind of date.
And so,
or anything like that.
And yeah, and of course, I met the woman that I ended up marrying when I was 25. No, wait. Yeah, about 25, maybe a little older, 23, 24. And so since then, it's really not been a thing.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand modern dating. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that doesn't understand modern dating.
No.
Neither of us do. We don't. And definitely none of the cats do.
It might
either.
Be, though, oh. When you think about it, we're both people that didn't really have a problem being friends with females when we were younger.
Very much actively sought it out in my case.
And me too. So I think that took care of a lot of the problems that most men have in getting together with women, where they don't have a lot of female friends. So this is the only way that it can happen. They have to be introduced to them, or they have to meet them at a bar or something. Whereas, you know, you and I had a lot of female friends. We wanted female friends. And so those friendships could develop into something else, or not, as the case may be.
I have a response, but before that I should say, I'm Tony.
Oh, and I'm William, and this is episode
292. I have caught, twice now in recent history at work, there have been coworkers of mine, which consisted of, and it was two different sets at the two different times, a married man and a single woman who have spent a lot of time together at work. Like, in one case, they would, go out to lunch fairly regularly. And in another case, they don't work together, both in terms of the job or in terms of proximity, and yet they would frequently hang out together at breaks and talk and stuff like that. And in both cases, my reaction was kind of, are they sort of... Is there something going on? And it was only very recently that I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Your life has been based on the idea that, yes, men and women can be friends, sure, even really good friends, and it doesn't have to mean anything. What the hell? That's the whole cultural thing again.
Yep.
It's built into me to judge, to be like, there's something going on.
That's right.
And I convince myself of reasons. One in particular, I'm like, that seems like the kind of person that might, but I'm like, I feel like I made that up. I don't know them really well,
yeah,
and they certainly don't, objectify a lot of women, verbally around me, or that I don't know of a history of, like that kind of, like, so I'm pretty sure I pulled that out of my ass. Yeah, I just caught myself recently because I'm like, because I hate that. Anytime I see that trope in place, men and women can't be friends, then that's the start of a lot of romantic comedies and shit like that. I'm like, no, first off. And two, insofar as in whatever situation you are or the way you live your life, that might be true for you, that's a bad thing that should be fixed. If you slash your circle of friends slash your society is such that you can't be friends, that you slash your circle of friends slash society is fucked up, which I guess is judging, but still. Because I'm like, that's, especially in this day and age, because you know what? I could also fuck a guy. Like, there's that sort of thing. There's this, like, there's also a huge heteronormative component to this. And I think largely it doesn't go beyond that. Nobody's like, huh, that guy, a gay guy, has a boyfriend. He spends a lot of time with that guy. Like, nobody is doing that game, I don't think. Maybe they are. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I mean,
I don't. I think in the same way that I reflexively judge them when I shouldn't, I think reflexively I would not do that in that situation.
I think you're right for most people. But I wouldn't know if that's something that other gay men would notice and make comment about.
Yeah. Well, and then it gets tied up into perceptions of the gay dating scene and things like that. Yeah, so here we are, a week later. For us, it's like 10 minutes later. So, things are about the same here. How are they with you? So, yeah, I'm going for a week to Oregon.
Yep, that sounds like a great idea.
We're getting there. We're going to go. We're flying to Portland. We drive down to Salem, where my sister is. And we're spending 2 nights there. And we were going to spend it in the same kind of mediocre hotel that's been near them for a while. And then just today, we were talking about a restaurant downtown that is a favorite of my family's. It's relatively new, but like every time we go, they take us there and it's a good place. And Trish couldn't remember it. And I'm like, yeah, it's the one that's in the hotel down there. And she's like, last time we were there, we said we were going to stay in that hotel. And I was like, crap, we are. There's still time to cancel. So now we do this. So now we're going to stay in that hotel, which is a ways further away from where my sister lives. But we can drive. We're going to have a rental car. We can drive. And it's very cool. Across the street from there is a comedy theater that does like improv and stuff. And that the first night we're there, that's happening. And my sister and her husband are doing a thing that her daughter's not going to be involved. So I think we're going to take her daughter and we'll go do that. We haven't told her daughter that yet, but I think she'll think that's fun. So that'll be cool. Then we're going to drive out to the beach where my parents are. And we're going to stay out there for 2 nights. And then my parents and us are going to drive north to the city of Astoria, Oregon, where my father was born a long time ago, and stay in a hotel there overnight. Because the next morning, they are going to keep going north to Port Angeles and eventually up to Canada, because they are starting their annual 2-week trip up to Canada that they like to do.
Okay.
And we are going to head north up to Seattle and stay at the Cedar Brook Lodge, which I believe I talked about last time we went. Yeah, we discovered it. It was a really amazing place that we were at for very few hours, and it was set. So this time we're going to be there. We're going to show up about dinner time that day, and our plane leaves the next day late enough that we'll be able to stay, like, till checkout and stuff like that. So that should be cool.
Yeah, sounds like a nice trip.
Then we'll come back here. And we've got, do you know Jenny and Bob? You don't.
No.
We've got some friends whose son is now like 13, and he's going to watch after the cats. Oh. And in fact, he was here yesterday, and we showed him all the stuff to do. So. Okay, Addy's sleeping. I should stop fucking with him. I tried a new game last night. He loves the laser pointer. I did it in dark.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. This is harder, though, because I can lead him well with it otherwise. Like, I know, I can tell he's running, and so I speed up. So, harder to do in there because I can't see him. But it is kind of fun that there's just this red dot, and it's like the only thing I can see, and then I hear this jump, 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 jumping around. So, that's kind of fun. He loves the laser pointer. So, how will your week be?
I don't know.
Watched a new episode of Westworld. Well, how'd you like that?
Next Thursday is, well, today for everybody.
Yeah.
Legends of Tomorrow comes back. And Flash and Arrow would have had their second episodes for the season. They've both started out okay, pretty strong. Oh, and Supergirl will have come back.
Which?
To CW with Superman.
That's the thing. The commercials are really worrying me.
Why is that?
Because I was under the impression that Superman was going to guest star sometime in the season. Mm-hmm. The commercials really make it look like he's just going to be there the whole time.
Yeah,
well. The commercials really make it look like he's around for a long time. And I'm like, that undercuts the shit out of that show, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, we'll see.
They're definitely doing it to make a point. But I'm like, but that only works if you don't keep him around too long.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. One of the things I'm looking forward to is they've even shown clips from a big crossover show with everybody. Supergirl's going to be in it. Flash, Arrow.
Oh, goodness.
Legends of Tomorrow people, everybody's going to be in it, and that's going to be really fun.
What are they going to call it?
Well, I don't know. It's, you know, one of the shows is going to be picked to be the host show, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, it's either going to be on Super, it's probably going to be on in the Legends show, I imagine. But I don't know, because when they did the Flash Supergirl crossover, it was in Supergirl. And also, she was in they had the quote unquote universes separate, so the Flash and Arrow universe and the Legends of Tomorrow universe didn't have a Supergirl.
Or Superman. Yeah.
But since they're doing Flashpoint, which in DC universes, they mix up a whole bunch of universes, they'll probably use that as an excuse to bring the two together so that she'll actually be part of their world now or something. I don't know what they're going
to
do.
They really have committed to this having nothing to do with the DC cinematic universe.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird, since they're using the same Flash.
You mean Wally West?
No, I mean the actor.
Sorry,
isn't it the same
Barry
actor?
Allen, I mean, no, they're not.
Oh, I thought it was Barry the same
Allen,
actor.
I meant Barry Allen. No, it's not.
Okay, then we're good.
Not the same actor, but they're both Barry Allen, though.
Yeah. No, because like I said, they've done enough things now that they're clearly not sticking them together. Which means they could totally bring Batman into it.
Sure, and Wonder Woman. The thing about the DC shows is, while I like them and they're fun, they're not anything close to the caliber of the Netflix Marvel shows.
Oh, yeah.
They're not
even
in the same league or
We
class.
Didn't even talk about this last week. Are you watching Luke Cage?
No, I'm not.
People say it's really good.
I know. And maybe we will.
People also say it's too black. Other people say it's not black enough. It's
what? A lot of
people say it's racist, but people are in two camps on this. Some people say it's very reverse racism bullshit against white people or whatever. Yeah, and other people say it's a little too blaxploitation-y and kind of offensive for black people.
Well, when I first saw the character in Jessica Jones or whatever,
yeah,
I thought there were a lot of, you know, tropes for black, male black characters. It felt like that to me.
And it's really baked into Luke Cage as a property.
Well, that's probably true.
Part of the
that's
thing.
Probably true. But you know, it's like, I didn't really... The thing is, I just don't care that much about Marvel. I mean, when I watch...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really go into watching, say, Daredevil on Netflix thinking, I don't care about Marvel, so I'm not going to care about this. As I'm watching, there's just nothing about the story of the character that just really grabs me. And and probably the only reason DC does it is because I've got this sentimental attachment from when I was a kid and all this stuff.
Yeah.
That's probably... Otherwise, they might not do it for me either. But Marvel, I just can't get into it. But I have watched Daredevil mostly because I think that the people directing that show would do some pretty amazing things with shots and composition and things like that. So it's really fun to watch. but not because I really care that much about Daredevil, the character. Yeah. Jessica Jones, I tried to watch 2 times, and I just couldn't get into it.
Really?
No, I just couldn't. Now, I think it's... I thought it was great that a lot of people who've gone through traumas and stuff
can relate
to this character. I thought that was fantastic. But for whatever reason, it just didn't resonate with me, and I just wasn't even interested in watching it. And Luke Cage in that show, that, you know, character just didn't... I just didn't care.
Yeah.
And so I'm just not interested. I'm not saying I blame anyone else for being interested, because I think the properties are very well done.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't... I'm just not interested. I can't explain why.
Yeah, a friend of mine the other day said, because they were like, why are you not watching Luke Cage? And I'm just like, I didn't watch Daredevil because I wasn't interested. I didn't watch Jessica Jones because it sounded like it was going to really be traumatic for me.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I suddenly... And they're like, well, it stands alone fine. I'm like, I know, but why would I suddenly have interest? And one of them said, I don't remember the exact wording, so if you latch onto a particular word here, that might not be the word, but they basically said it is the most seriously... it's the blackest show on television, basically. It's the show that gives this most, like, serious and realistic portrayal of black people, to which I immediately said, fuck you, watch Atlanta. And I'm like, and also, fuck you, watch Queen Sugar, which I'm not watching, but Ava DuVernay is doing it, and give me a break. There's no way it's not more authentically African-American experience than Luke Cage. Because that's the thing. Even if those two shows didn't exist, it's a goddamn superhero show. And not only that, but the black man is super strong. Like, that's some trope shit there.
Yeah.
But I found myself... I was really surprised at, like, how sort of, like... I snapped back pretty hard when they said that. Like, no. I'm sure it's awesome, but no. And then somebody's like, or Empire. I'm like, no, Empire doesn't count. And they're like, why? And I did my whole thing. I'm like, because it's Dynasty. Dynasty is not an authentic portrayal of white people. Dynasty is Dynasty, and Empire is Dynasty for black people. Of course, I spent a semester in college dissecting the concept of authenticity and how bullshit it is, so I should probably not use that term. But why do I keep waking up this cat?
But that's one of the problems we always run into is terms. Like, well, you can't use that term because it means this, and you can't use that term because it means that. And before you know it, you can't say anything.
Yeah, but this isn't for perceptive reasons. It's because authentic in a cultural sense is sort of an impossible thing to say.
You're right about that.
Because there's no such thing as a static culture, and
but what are the words
and also
you use?
It's real. Like, whatever it is real, so how do you say it's not authentic?
True. But that's still for a very particular sense of the term authentic. I mean, the term can be lightened up. It can be watered down a little bit, so it doesn't mean something so extreme as to say this is a better representation of this culture, which, you know, to use a word, to use a static word to attach to a dynamic thing, I mean, that's always problematic. Well, then don't make the word static. We can accept the sense of the word in a dynamic way, but...
Yeah.
But I
always feel weird, because that's the thing. I talk up Atlanta, and I talk up Atlanta as being more authentically black than most of us out there. And I shouldn't. Because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Donald Glover could be playing a huge joke on me. Like, I don't know if this is what black people are like when I'm not around. In my head, I guess I think they are. Which I'm like, if they're not, then I'm really racist. And Donald Glover has just exposed that to everybody. I do feel like the credit for the fact that, like I said before, both in front of and behind the camera, almost all black people involved. Mm-hmm. And that says something just for the agency. Mm-hmm. Whether it's authentic or not, it's what black people wanted to make, or at least those specific black people. I shouldn't say all, like I can't, and this, I know you, it's a terminology thing or whatever for you, but not in this case. It's like, literally, no matter how I communicate it, I have no basis for making an assessment.
You're right about that. You're right.
I just don't know what I'm talking about, but I still want to talk about it. And I mean, and I still have an opinion. However, and it even could be an accurate opinion. Yeah. It would just coincidentally be accurate.
Yeah.
And that's why I always try and follow it up with, also, it's a good show. It's funny. I enjoy it. And Darius is the greatest character ever. Who are you? You remember me? I just met you a minute ago. Remember I handed you a cookie? It's also the one they said, Malcolm X, they shot Malcolm X too. He says, no, that's a lie. Nobody's seen him since the funeral. I guess that's how funerals work. Yeah, let's hat things.
You're standing on it.
You're standing on it.
No, you are.
No.
Yes.
You are.
I
do. So apparently Gotham has totally gone off the rails in terms of continuity also. Apparently Gotham has taken its story in a direction that conflicts with actual Batman. Like they have, for lack of a better term, set up an alternate timeline. Are you watching Gotham?
Yeah, but I mean, okay. That's been kind of true from the very beginning.
All right.
You mean something like really big, like really earth-shattering?
I don't know, just I was reading stuff that was talking about. They clearly, because they were comparing to something else that might go in there, and they're like, clearly Gotham's decided to do that, and it's worked for them. And I was like, I didn't really know that. I mean, I knew there were certain age distinctions, but I'm getting the sense now that, like, major characters have done things that just patently they never did and never could have done. And
I guess, yeah. I think that's been going on since the beginning, though.
Potentially somebody dies who wouldn't have died, or that's always the big one. It's like when somebody dies that didn't die in the other version, or vice versa.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't. There's just always been things that are very different from the comic books, and
but they have to keep Fish Mooney sacrosanct. Can't mess with my Fish Mooney. Seriously, it's like if George Lucas went on a bender. And then came up with a name.
It's a pretty good character, though.
I'm sure, but it's a shitty name.
You know, I read recently that the whole Universal Cinematic Monster Universe, or whatever.
Yes.
That Dracula Untold's like not going to be part of it anymore.
Ooh.
Which I'm kind of disappointed in that because I know people hated that movie, but I kind of liked it.
Yeah. Maybe that's why. Like Williams into
and
it.
And I'm fine if they make something else that's better, because it had problems, of course, but I think the thing I liked about it was, and maybe this is something I shouldn't like about it, because, you know, maybe this is one of those cultural appropriation things, I don't know, but I liked how they showed some deference toward how some people in Romania see this character as a hero.
Ah.
As a heroic character. I liked that. I thought that was nice, I guess, and kind of cool. But that's one of the specific things that most people didn't like. You know, Dracula's a bad guy, period, end of story. You don't make him a good guy in any way, shape, or form.
Did I talk about 2000 Maniacs?
Is that a movie?
It is a movie.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Sounds like you did.
And I didn't specifically watch it. I watched the many, many years later sequel/remake called 2001 Maniacs.
But I didn't talk about that. I don't remember that.
In it, 2000 Maniacs is considered a classic horror film made by Herschel Gordon Lewis, which is weird because I saw this other one, and that week he died.
Whoa.
That was kind of weird. But they essentially redid it modern. Oh, wow, look, I see you got it. We'll make sure you get to it.
No,
don't
I'm
worry.
Not. I'm just all right. Sorry.
Because you keep looking at me, looking at the card, looking at the card.
That doesn't mean anything.
He's already drawn a card.
No, it doesn't mean anything.
But so they redid it, and it's, on the surface, it's a very classic, predictable story.
When was it made again?
The original, I want to say, was the 60s.
Yeah.
This one was 2000-something. Oh. I don't know. And it's, random teenagers or young adults, are going to spring break, and because of a detour sign, they end up in this little tiny southern town.
Oh, that's brilliant. I've never heard
yes.
anyone tell a story like
and
that.
And as luck would have it, that southern town is celebrating their annual festival or whatever, and they need outsiders to be the guests of honor, and so these people will be the guests of honor. And in fact, I think specifically Northerners, because it's supposed to be tied to that, and it's going to be a two-day thing that will end in a wonderful barbecue. Yep. And then slowly people die off, and spoiler alert, at the end, the barbecue is there's people who have been barbecued. But two people get away. No, it gets even worse. Two people get away at the end, and the whole thing ends with, what are you kids talking about? That town was demolished during the Civil War, and it's a graveyard now, and they go back and they see it, and there's a headstone with an incredible likeness of the mayor, played by Robert Englund, on the thing, and all this. And it turns out that the town was just slaughtered by the Northern Army. Mm-hmm. And so now they get their vengeance every year or whatever, as ghosts. But whatever. Super predictable. Couple of interesting things. One that was not the reason I brought it up, but I did anyway. They got weird in places. There's a lot of sex in it because it's a horror movie, and so you have to have that kind of bullshit. And a lot of just, like, funny things. But there's sort of this whole scene in, like, the first night they're there that is sort of, I'd say, a montage of sex scenes, for lack of a better term.
Okay.
And we sort of have that. We have the kid who somehow hooked up with two giggly, buxom blonde women who take a shining to him, but then, of course, his situation ends up with, oh, he didn't actually get laid. Wah, wah, whatever. But that whole thing is going. And then we have the two people who will eventually be the survivors who are just discovering each other, and it's very romantic and all this. And then we have a different couple who was a biker and his girlfriend who showed up at the time. And they have a whole sex thing that starts out with the two of them wearing their riding leathers in the bedroom and basically sword fighting with riding crops. And then eventually she ties him down and he's wearing like a mesh shirt. And the whole thing was just really kind of kinky and not particularly normative in a lot of ways, to the degree that I was like, good for you. I mean, it was goofy and dumb, but you tried something there, and I was impressed with it. But that's not the point I want to make. The point I want to make is, it's fascinating to me, the movie starts with a professor at the college where the kids are just before spring break, you know, talking about the Civil War and bringing up Sherman's March. And basically saying there's a lot of atrocities that happened to the Southern people, which is why, even to this day, you will find Southerners who are resentful of the North and angry at the North, having nothing to do with slaves.
Right.
And what caught my eye for this is the professor was played by Peter Stormare, who should have something better to do.
I don't even know who that is.
See, now I do think I've talked about this, because I think we had... Remember Fargo?
Yeah.
Remember Steve Buscemi?
Yeah.
Remember his friend? Yeah. That's Steve Buscemi. That's him.
Okay.
He also played... Did you ever see Constantine? The Keanu Reeves one.
Yeah, but I don't remember
anything. He played Satan in that one. He's been in a lot of things. He's from somewhere Scandinavian, and I really like him. He tends to play really, like, fucked up characters, but I... But that's the thing. So it was just weird that he's just a professor for this one scene. But that was really kind of a theme. And, of course, like I said, it turned out this town had their own sort of mini Sherman's March where everybody got slaughtered by the North. But I found the concept interesting, and I think there's a reality to it. Because it's still the horrors of war, and because it's a civil war, we're all still in the same country. So literally, the descendants of the people that did this shit to your ancestors are right over there. So I feel like there is that, because that whole concept of, you know, Southern pride and people wanting to fly the Confederate flag, I still think that's a terrible idea, don't get me wrong. But there's that idea that, like, even if they're... That they were still wronged. All slavery should aside. And in fact, all slavery should aside. Don't get me wrong. Slavery terrible. Bad. Glad it's over. Whatever. That being said, in the process of determining we weren't going to do slavery anymore, that was like 80% of their economy. Just done. That's a pretty big deal. And I'm not saying they should have kept slaves. I'm just saying... that'll mess somebody up.
Well, yeah, it is a thing. There's a book entitled Why the South Was Right, and it does not try to argue in favor of slavery,
of course.
But it tries to argue that the people who were arguing in favor of states' rights had a point.
Yeah.
And not so much anything about slavery per se, but about admitting that slavery is wrong. Is it also wrong for the federal government to come in and tell the states what to do? However, slavery needs to be gotten rid of, is this the right way to get rid of it?
Yes.
That's the question.
And there's a reason why they refer to it as a war of northern aggression.
War of northern
because
aggression.
Technically it wasn't a war until the North decided it was, because the South just seceded and said, we're going to do our own thing. You do your thing, we'll do our thing.
We worked with a person who called it that. Didn't call it the Civil War. Called it the War of Northern Aggression.
Don't get me wrong, I'm still largely on the side of the North, because that slavery thing is a sticking point for me. But, yeah, it's just, we all like to think it's, and I don't mean, there's always the joke about the, what caused the Civil War, and the answer is a whole bunch of different things, but everybody just says, oh, slavery, and that's bullshit. But, aside from the causes, what happened, and what was involved, and what its legacy is so much more complicated than people like to think, and this weird kind of shitty horror movie managed to sort of accidentally emphasize that for me, and I found that interesting.
And Abraham Lincoln suspended habeas corpus. I mean, there was all kinds
Well, and the Emancipation Proclamation did not free all the slaves. It freed the ones that were in the Confederacy. Technically, there were states where that still had legal, or at least territories, that still had legal slavery that were not, did not join the Confederacy, and technically the Emancipation Proclamation did not free those slaves. So yeah, there's a lot of shit like that.
Yep. It's a lot more complex thing than people realize. And the fact of the matter is, too, it's not just some of the angry at the North sentiments that survive today, but some of the political beliefs and some of the
Some of the economic fallout survives to this day.
There's a lot of things that survive today that a lot of people don't.
Because, of course, that's the thing I remember, and I'm surprised everybody remembers, because it was actually in school. We spent a fairly long time on how horrific the Restoration was. Mm-hmm. And not just because of all the Jim Crow bullshit, but just it was handled so poorly, and the kind of similar to the Germans after World War One. Like, they were not treated well afterward. Right. And they were put in sort of an untenable situation where there was no way they were going to get better.
That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of things to think about, considering.
So, 2001. And it's fun to see Robert Englund. Every once in a while, it is. I've seen a couple of movies recently. Not playing Freddy Krueger. He's still playing creepy guys, because he can't get away from that now. Mm-hmm. Even though before Freddy Krueger, he played goofy guys.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he had acted a long time before Freddy Krueger, and he frequently played the sort of dopey, nerdy guy. Probably typified, but he was in V originally. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the aliens, but he was essentially the comic relief alien. And few people remember that. But yeah, he had quite a career before then, but just playing sort of the little dopey, nerdy guy. Mm. And then Freddy Krueger, and he played Freddy Krueger and nothing but Freddy Krueger for, like, what, 70,000 years. And now, whenever he's in something, it's always a horror movie, and he's always playing something creepy. And he does it well. In no way do I want to disparage Robert Englund. He's a decent actor.
I didn't know he ever did anything.
Yeah. If you go to his IMDb page, he's got a lot of credits before that.
He seems like the kind of guy that you would, if you went to a certain place to see some production of Shakespeare, and he was in it, you'd go, "Yeah, I see that he's got the chops for that, and it would be really good." But you know, he's never going to get a movie role that expresses
that's
that.
the version of that always sticks with me. I think was in the first Trekkies documentary. Was Brent Spiner saying, "I've come to terms with the fact that nobody's ever going to see me anything and not immediately think of Data. My hope is you'll see me in something and think of Data, and then a minute later forget."
Yeah.
Which should be true, because Brent Spiner is a phenomenal actor.
Oh, yeah, great character actor.
Especially. I don't know how well it's worked for him. I haven't seen him in stuff too much lately, Independence Day notwithstanding. But he had his own web series that I need to check out still.
Yeah, I watched some of it. It was all right. He was good in it. The rest of it wasn't kind of
there. Yeah. All right, so you drew a question at some point in the past.
Coffee.
Coffee is 80% of our questions. Guys, don't let coffee be a dictator. Don't let coffee rule us with an iron fist. You must help us stage a revolution by writing the hat, themagicaltalkinghat.com. No, sorry, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com and save us, because she's just such a taskmistress. It's awful. She's going to listen to this tomorrow at work. She's going to be so mad at me.
What does friendship mean to you?
If something happens, I have a list of people I'm pretty sure I could borrow money from. These are my friends. No. This is an interesting question for me, because I'm not sure. I've discovered I am very much an out-of-sight, out-of-mind person. If you move away, our friendship will fade. If you move away after enough time, it'll probably just disappear, no matter who you were. And it's really bad at work. I can have work friends that like are some of my closest friends, and then one of us gets a different job, and... You know, for a while we try stuff, but eventually we never see each other again. I'm really bad about that. And it makes me feel like I'm kind of shallow or something. Like, my friends are based far too much on my circumstance.
So what does that mean, friendship means to you?
I don't know.
Well, I also lose track of people when they're not there every day or whatever. But I still think about them. I don't pick up a piece of paper and write a letter or an email or anything else, but they're not doing that to me either, so...
Yeah.
I think we've...
Hell, I have this with my brother.
I think we've talked about this before, how, for me, if I see someone I haven't seen for a long time, I'm pretty much always prepared just to pick up right where we left off, and it's like no time passed at all. Although sometimes that works with them too, and it's no big deal. But other times it's clear that it doesn't.
Yeah.
And they look at me like, why are you talking to me like we're old friends? And, of course, my answer to that question is, well, I thought we were.
And, yeah, see, and I'm not in that. I know people who are like that. They have not necessarily any friend, but they have a certain tier of friend that is absolutely permanent. That you are now tier 5 close friend, you're always going to be that. Even if I don't see you for 30 years, you're going to be that. And I know I don't have that. I'm not sure I believe in it. Like, people say that, but I'm like, yeah, you can force yourself to act that, but I don't know that I believe it's true, because I very much believe, you're not the person. I believe people are too fluid. You're not that same person, and you might not... You might, but you also might not be able to have that relationship, because the relationship is based on two characters, and these aren't the same characters.
I guess. I mean...
It doesn't mean you can't be friends, but it means... Statistically speaking, it's almost impossible for the relationship to be the same.
Oh, it's definitely not going to be the same. But it's more of a... for me, when I see someone after a long time, and like I say, I'm perfectly willing to pick up where we left off. That's a really terrible way to put it, really, because you can't do that.
Yeah.
You don't do that. It's more of a... Well, I know that we were good friends before, and so there's no reason for me to think we can't be good friends again until something happens to show me that we can't. It's like, because we were good friends before, I'm prepared to go into this thing assuming that that can just happen again until something suggests otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess it's... this is what I'm about to say is a lie. Because I do this all the time. A fun game I play by myself now is to rank my friends. Like, who's my best friend? Always Trish. Who's my second? Who's my third? And nobody can tie. I have to, like, just in my head for fun. But that's dumb. And what I think it comes down to is I tend not to think of my friendships in terms of severity. I try and think about them in terms of what the content of the friendship, like, why are we friends? What are we friends about? And to me, that's the stuff that changes if you're gone for a long time. So I'm not going to assume we have... I mean, I certainly am not going to not have seen somebody and start, you know, speaking to them like Mr. Whoever. I mean, you know, there's not that. Generally speaking, if I was good friends with somebody, I'm not going to suddenly be standoffish. Mm-hmm. But this is me. I'm usually not standoffish with anybody, strangers either. But I try and be aware that not only are we not necessarily going to relate in the same way or on the same topics or in the same things, but we probably won't unless we're doing a wholly nostalgic thing, which I have friends like that. We get together and we just tell the same jokes that we always used to tell, and then we reminisce about things, and that's sort of our whole relationship now. And in that way, it's the same, but in that way, it's also just sort of a clip show, you know? But yeah, because, you know, usually I'm friends with somebody because of common interests or common interests. Because I was, like, going to say, or, you know, types of conversations, but that's still a common interest. We're interested in having this kind of conversation. And if it's been long enough, you know, I don't know that that's true anymore. And so I see how it goes. And I'm usually not in the same place. I mean, well, I'm pretty much always not in the same place. So it just feels weird to sort of approach it in the same way to me. Let alone the people who seem to just sort of believe it. But, like I said, a lot of people define friendship not based on, oh yeah, we're friends because of this or whatever. But no, we are this level of friend. And so we stay at that level until something tells me otherwise. And I guess that's fine. That's just sort of not how I look at friends.
Well, I mean, I think, like I say, we sort of seem to have talked about this before a little bit.
I think this one has come up before.
I think that for me, friendship, you know, like, you have your family, and you have strangers. And in the middle, you have, you know, I was raised to look at the people in the middle there as falling into two groups. Basically, extended family, like adopted family.
And friendly strangers.
And people who aren't that yet, but okay, who aren't strangers.
Okay.
Everyone's sort of moving toward that place if given enough time and contact and a certain type of interaction. And there's no rules for when a person transitions from one to the other. You just know when it happens.
Yeah.
So everybody in my life who's crossed over that threshold, however or whenever they did it, I'm just going to have a certain attitude toward them.
You're right. Do you need to go?
I'm just going to have a certain attitude toward them that's a lot like with my family. If something were to happen where, because of weather or circumstances or whatever, I don't see anyone in my family for a year or 2 years, let's say. Maybe, like, my brother lives in Alaska. He's gone 2 years without seeing any of us. He still talks to us. But let's say that didn't happen. It's not going to matter. You know, we'll get together. Hey, tell me about what happened in those 2 years, and they'll give us the highlights. And it's like, okay, no big deal. You just kind of go with it. And the same thing that I have with my family, I have with these friends who are just basically extended family, unless they give me that look that tells me, no, don't treat me like that, because that's not how I feel about you and you're making me feel weird. And then I have to say, okay, well, obviously that's not how this person felt about it, but,
and I kind of, yeah,
it's just, I don't know, it's just a it really doesn't, it's really not tied to the content of what kind of things we did or talked about or what we had in common. It's just, it's a very, you know, like two clans overlapped, you know, and
yeah.
we were together in that place. And
well, I think that's the thing, because
that's forever kind of deal.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not.
Your definition of friendship appears to be a modified version of family.
Well, exactly.
And
same version of it, maybe.
I think I'm the opposite direction. I'm, as time goes on, I'm trying to view family as not something unique, but a certain type of friendship. I'm a little bit at the point where I kind of look at it all as relationships, all together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very, it's weird because a lot of this stuff's out of date in a lot of ways, but I sort of am tied into the my dinner with Andre idea that, you know, every day you wake up and decide if you're going to stay in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that ideally you could decide to leave, and then you do. And maybe you come back, but if you do, maybe they've gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you, so when you decide to leave, you have to be prepared for those consequences. And that was talking about a marriage, a romantic relationship. I sort of apply that around. It's I'm friends because I like spending time with you. And if I don't, I'm probably not going to be friends with you. Now, there are issues of loyalty and duty that do show up to me in friendship. But they, to me, are issues of support. We have a history. I have some loyalty and duty to you. If you need me, to a certain extent, I'm going to be there for you. I say it that way because despite all the jokes about it, probably never going to help you hide a body. We're not that close. But this can mean a lot of things. If you really need to talk about something,
mm-hmm.
I'm here for you. If you need money and I can help, I'm here for you. If you need a ride to the airport, you know, that kind of shit. And with differing people, depending on sort of length and, I don't know, depending on the whims of my brain, how much I'm willing to do varies. Maybe this didn't used to be the case, but it is now. That loyalty and that sense of duty does not extend to me hanging out with you, per se.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm like, I'm just not into hanging out with you anymore, I probably won't hang out with you anymore. And yeah, so it's a very, and I mean, as I'm saying it, I feel like it sounds mean, sort of, but it's just sort of a,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really think of,
you friendship know, means people I want to hang out with, you know?
See, again, I was saying about you have this a particular kind of relationship with these people. It doesn't mean you relate to all of these people the exact same way. For example, you might prefer to hang out with these people instead of these people. You might, I mean, you know, each person is different, so you're going to relate to them in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's something about the quality of those relationships that's the same in spite of all those differences. Like I said, you know, I'm not writing emails or letters to this person. They're not writing emails or letters to me, but there's some quality of that relationship I have with them that's the same as the relationship I have with the person I'm seeing every day, to the extent that when I see this person again after 30 years, I'm going to feel those feelings. We're going to have that kind of interaction. It'll be brief. We'll part, and we still won't write each other emails or whatever. But on some level or in some way or in some aspect, it's still the same. We're still friends.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that I'm better friends with this person I'm hanging out with all the time, necessarily. I mean, with my wife, for example, the difference between her and everybody else is just the level of intimacy in a relationship. Aside from that, that's really actually, in fact, now that I think about it, that's really the difference between any friend of mine and another friend, is the level of intimacy that we have. You know, you and I share a level of intimacy that's greater than most of the people who I still call friends.
Mm.
Now, I realize for most people, you know, they would want to describe that, like, well, you're my best friend and this person's my second best friend, or this person's not really a friend, they're just a, you know, come up with a whole bunch of words and stuff. But for me, there's just this pool of friends, and with some I am more intimate than others, and that doesn't really make one friend better than the other. That's just an incidental, that's just a thing, you know, like,
yeah,
of course I'm going to have a more intimate relationship with my wife and my other friends. And of course I'm going to have a more intimate relationship with you than my other friends, because you and I have so much in common and all this other stuff.
And long history and...
Yeah.
And regular connection. I genuinely believe we would not be as close if we didn't do this.
No, probably.
We would still see each other, but it would not be very often. And it might fade to where we sort of never do.
Well,
but
except
I think
it's significant that we are doing this, though.
Absolutely. And it's on purpose.
Yeah.
And as I have said, I'm not sure I ever said it to you, but the priority of this is our relationship.
Right, for me too.
So if the podcast sucks and nobody's listening, we're still going to do it.
Yeah, right.
And when there are times where I'm like, maybe we should change it, I'm like, yeah, but then that doesn't work as well for us, even if it would made it more popular.
Right.
Like, so that's the thing. But I think two key things here for me. One is the obvious one that we should see already, is that I am much more free with, and what some could say capricious with, intimacy.
Mm.
I can quite intentionally get involved in something deeply intimate with a stranger if they're the right stranger at the right time. And be okay with that. And then the other thing that I think is a huge one here, what I'm inferring from what you say, and which is not the case for me, is time and distance will lessen intimacy for me.
Mm.
And that's the thing. We're real intimate. I don't see you for 5 years. We're not, because intimacy is about sharing of me, and me is not. Mm. Me's very different now. Mm. You don't. After 5 years, you don't know the shit that is messing with my head, or that I think about, or that my priorities may have changed, or all sorts of things. And I don't know about you. And in a lot of cases, I'm willing to give it a shot. But my brother makes a great illustration for this. Because my brother and I have a terribly weird relationship. I didn't see him as much. Both of my siblings are half-siblings. They both have completely different parents. My brother and I share a dad, and my sister and I share a mom. In both cases, the primary custody was the mother. So growing up, my sister lived with us, but every other weekend she was gone. My brother was only there every other weekend.
Mm.
So I grew up much closer to my sister.
Sure.
But I still loved my brother, and he was very much my brother, and we still had a brotherly relationship and stuff. As we got older, it got, I don't know, weird, strained a little bit. I still haven't really figured out. At a certain point, I started getting really sort of mad at him for the way he interacted with me.
Hmm.
And I used to try and sort of articulate it, and had to do, like, he just asks a lot of questions of me and doesn't, like, say a lot of himself and stuff like that. And he still does that. But, I mean, I don't think that was an accurate depiction of what was bothering me. But now we're at a point where that made it a little weird. And then he moved far, far away. And then I moved here, and we're not that far now. We're like 4 or 5 hour drive away. We still don't see each other very often.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk too much. And like, mostly when we see each other is if he and his family, or just him sometimes, are passing through, because there are work reasons and extended family reasons why that happens. Whenever that happens, or at least often, maybe he's lying sometimes, but whenever that happens, he'll let me know. And be like, can we get dinner or lunch or even sometimes just coffee or whatever. And it's always very quick. Like, we don't have a lot of time. We can be here for like an hour or whatever. And I get really resentful of that. And then I'm like, yeah, because you don't have 3 kids. And you're not bothering to go visit him. So where the hell do you get off? But in my mind, I imagine it as sort of a reciprocal thing. He probably is a little resentful that I don't make more of an effort, but he's also aware that he doesn't make that much of an effort. Mm. And we still like each other. I like hanging out with him. He comes to visit. He came a couple weeks ago. Right. We had dinner. Great time. And I like him as a friend that way. There is loyalty and duty because he's family. In those senses, family is the most intense version of friendship in a lot of ways. He's my brother. I'm still not going to help him hide a body. But I'll go great lengths for him. Mm. Because even if I decided I didn't like him anymore, because he's my brother, I suppose. But there are also friends like that, that are close enough to me that even if I'm like, you know what? I don't really want to. I'm still going to be there for them when they need me. But yeah, to me that's not... Intimacy is different, and I don't know that I'm particularly intimate with my brother. Such a weird sentence. But well, but you know what I mean. No, you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, compared to... I mean, I'm much more intimate with you than I am with him. I'm much more intimate with you than I am with my parents. And yeah, and a lot of it just has to do with proximity, I think. But I also often wonder with family, because family are the friends you didn't pick. If I hung out with them like all the time, if I saw my family today as much as I see you, I don't know if I would like it. Like, I don't know what that relationship would look like. And I might find that they're not my cup of tea. You know? Well,
for me, it's hard to base on something like what I would do for someone, because I like to do for just about anybody.
I've been beating around the bush. I have a dead body I need to hide. See, I was going to wait till the show was done, but
see, I mean, for a stranger, if I could help them in whatever way they asked me, I would do it. You know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not really a, for me personally. That's not
have $5.
If I had $5, I'd give.
So. Poor William. He don't even have $5.
Yeah, poor William. So yeah, I don't know.
He's just gonna eat snow.
It's one of those questions that you're probably gonna get a different answer no matter who you ask. Which is strange when you think about it, because I think our culture does make pretty specific prescriptions about what friendship is supposed to be.
Yeah, the same way they do about love.
Yeah, and yet I don't think that
well, and especially on the loved one, you and I have always been in agreement that we're sick of that shit.
Yeah.
Stop doing that. And I'm gonna on the friendship one too, I'm gonna be like, stop doing that. They're special. Each one is a unique little snowflake.
Yeah.
Which is not a thing. Dude in 1960 found two identical snowflakes. So what I'm saying is everything's a lie and everything is the worst all the time. And we are about out of time, so I want to end on this cheery note. I don't know what I'm going to call this episode.
I don't know.
The last one is going to be Crappy Culture Corner.
Yes, but
it just, it sings Crappy Culture Corner. It's got the k sound, it's which is always funny. All k sounds are funny.
They are?
Kookamonga. That's a real thing. Like, I think they've actually done studies.
Okay.
The k sound is funny.
That's what you're going to call the episode?
If they have not, the k sound is funny. How do you spell k?
I don't know. K-U-H?
The k sound. And then you just k. Yeah, that could work. The k sound is funny. And it'll be like a callback to the previous one.
Episode.
Yeah. But then you run into the crusty, the clown cavalcade. Like, it's C-C-C, even though it's k, because we're not K-K-K. We don't know. We don't approve. CCC, Chemeketa Community College. That's my local community college. It was CCC. All right. I didn't tell you this a week ago. So, but you should go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com. And what are you pointing at?
Nothing.
Oh. Well, I don't want to alarm you.
Go to the blog and make
But your index finger had a spasm. that looked an awful lot like pointing.
Go to the blog and tell us what scenario would cause Homeland Security to visit Jazz and ask her to help them with it.
Dude, wasn't that from last week? Dude, yeah, that is so last week.
This is our big callback episode.
That's true. Go and tell us about last week's episode. But hopefully last week you talked about this episode.
Oh, yeah.
That would be awesome. And we will talk to you guys in, well, it'll be a week for you, it'll be 2 weeks for us. But, and I shouldn't say we'll talk to you guys, we'll talk at you guys. We don't, oh, I know you're talking back at the podcast, we don't hear you. If you go to the blog, we do. Speaking of which, I apologize to Jazz, for some reason, because I see all the comments, I subscribe so I get them in email. One of her comments, my email decided was spam. From a few episodes ago. And so I just saw it like today. So I never responded. So well, I wasn't ignoring you, Jazz. My email was ignoring you. It's not the worst, though. Sometime I'll tell you the story about the work email that I took over a year to respond to. Not on purpose, but it happened. Anyway, so yeah. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Right into the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Like it on Facebook, because somebody's got to do it. And come back next week. Oh, she's holding the monster kitty.
I've got myself stuck under the bathroom.
Under the bathroom. Oh. Oh, in the cabinet?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his own damn fault. All right, so you dragged him out. He seems fine now. He's... The other day he pissed me off enough that I yelled at him. And he could tell, and he was like hiding behind the pills. But then he came out and he gave me the cute eyes. And I was still mad, but he had the cute eyes. So I started petting him, and I was like, oh, fuck you, Eddie. Eat a dick, Eddie. You piss me off. But I did it like that. Which always makes me think of Tom Selleck in Three Men and a Baby reading that book about boxing to the baby. Mm. He says, it doesn't matter what you say, it's what tone you say it in. He looks really cute right now. But he smells like bathroom cleaner. That's what she said when I proposed.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.